blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, and washed in his blood, and one he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
That's our pre-worship song that we're going to be doing Sunday. We just wanted to give you a little bit of a preview there. We're running behind and getting on with our service tonight, with getting things online. We had some issues there, so bear with us. So I think we got that fixed, though. But just want to say welcome to everybody who's on our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. If you've got a prayer request, be sure to do that over on Facebook. That's what we'll be looking at on the live there for us to be able to share those tonight. You can share it on any platform, but that's what we'll see for the live. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also. If you do have access to the church website at home, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. You can download there the worship bulletin for this week, the children's worship bulletins, the prayer list there. These are on the front pew. If you didn't get one, if somebody comes in later, please make sure that they get one. While you're on the church website, you can do your online giving there. Just go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab, easy platform for you to set up and do that. Let me just remind you of a couple of other things. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app. We have started with a new 30-day prayer challenge. You can begin that anytime that you want. It's called Lord, Hear Our Cry. If you've not done that already, I encourage you to do that. We've got some other things that are going to be coming out in the newsletter. Pay attention to your newsletter as it comes out. If we send that to you in email, or if we send that to you in a paper copy, there'll be a QR code in there for you to look at and scan for getting involved in our prayer emphasis that we're going to be doing. And so you'll find out more about that as you see the newsletter, and more about that this coming Sunday. Also, don't forget the night of worship there, February 28th. You can sign up with the QR code there, call the church office, call the Duck River Association. There's a barbecue competition with that. And then one last thing that's not on your screen: if numbers have changed, email addresses have changed, or maybe you never gave us one of these for us to fill out and put your information in the system to be able to send you text, to be able to send you a call, however you want to receive that. You don't have to receive any of that if you don't want, but you could indicate that on here that you don't want those. If you want the newsletter by mail or you want it by email, however you want that, there's all kinds of ways you can do that. Sometimes things change from year to year as you maybe change an email address, you get locked out of one and you have to change to another or something like that. Please fill out one of these. You can place it in the offering plate. You can leave it at the church office, however you want to do that. If you're at home and need to do that, please call the church office and we'll be glad to take down that information for you. So just wanted to move along as quick as I could. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good evening. Take your hymnals and stand, if you will. And let's sing God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn 395. Ms. Gail?
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power, crown thine ancient church. Story, bring her but to glorious round. Grant us wisdom, grant us fairage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the host of evil round us storm. Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces, in the fight to set men free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not man nor
again, just a reminder, if you have a prayer request, please do that over on Facebook. We'll see that. We'll get that included in tonight's prayer request. Hopefully at home you have that downloaded. Hopefully here in person you've got one of those picked up. And so, let me see here. Make sure. Yep. All right. So on our prayer list, just taking about halfway down, a little more than halfway down on our prayer list on our Highland Baptist Church family. Continue to remember Tommy Griffin in your prayers. He has some ongoing medical issues. They've given him some news about some things there. So just pray for him. Pray for his encouragement in those things. And so keep him in your prayers. Cindy Ingram, who's recovering at home. Miss Kay Williams, keep her in your prayers. And if there's anybody you need to give me an update or stop me on to share more, please do that. There's Carolyn Waller, who has some ongoing medical issues. She had her surgery. She's recovering from that. Remember Gail McBride. She's also recovering from surgery at home. Those both are slow processes to heal from. Miss Gayla Everett had back surgery. She is healing from that, so keep her in your prayer. She, I think, went back yesterday for post-op. Follow up, and so keep her in your prayers. Brother Robert Everett also has some ongoing issues medically, and so we may be sharing some more of that detail a little bit later, but wasn't sure if we could share all of that yet. So just keep him in your prayers with the medical issues he has. Also, that's Gayla's husband. I remember Miss Beth Kidd. We have her there on that part of the list because she's moved from NHC back home recovering, so keep her in your prayers. Linda Jones, she also has some ongoing medical issues. I forget if she had the flu or something like that, a virus, I believe it was. And so keep her in your prayers. Her blood pressure was not where it needed to be either. And then also remember Leanne Wells. She messaged earlier today to let us know that if we would keep her in prayer. She said that she had to go to the orthopedic surgeon today because she was still having pain in her right leg and hip. He put her on crutches, and she's got to have two more MRIs to determine what's wrong. Said it could be a fracture in the hip, something with her back. So keep her and her mom in your prayers. She does most of the taking care of her mom, and she said, if I'm down, I can't help. I can't do that. So keep her in your prayers. Any others on the Highland Baptist Church family side that we need to add there or update? All right, on the friends and family side, we'll start at Mary Leibig. Yesterday, Linda had told me that her mom was not doing as well, but then I got a message from her today that she's doing better. And so she was able to get back here today for Awana. Linda Smith was, but just pray for Miss Mary. She seems to be improving a little bit, step by step. She also was able to take some steps down the hallway, as Miss Linda had shared. That she said she could walk 20 steps with the walker. She can transfer from the bed to a chair with minimal assistance, and so that was a great answer to prayer there. And so thank you for your prayers for Miss Mary Leibig. Also want to remember Lonnie Lance, who has cancer. That is Faye May's brother, Hank Graham, who has cancer. Any update there, Miss? Okay. So she had to quit work, so keep her in prayer for that. I know that's a stressful thing, also along with everything else that she's had going on. I remember Kim Saunders. Remember Ashley, our daughter, with her broken elbow. She goes back next week for her follow-up on that. Still things are stiff, still things hurt some, so she's still taking the Advil and the Tylenol, alternating that, so keep her in your prayers with that. Remember Sherry Williams, who is Daryl Williams, the pastor at Harmony Baptist. Remember her as she has breast cancer. Remember Lee Stallings, who is the wife of Andy Stallings at First Baptist, who had a pacemaker placed recently. Roy Slaughter, who has cancer treatments. He's the pastor at First Baptist Hillsborough. Alton Scroggs, who's having a knee replacement. His wife is recovering from shoulder replacement there at Cumberland Baptist. And then Angela Wallace with lung biopsy Thursday. And then also on that side, you'll notice about a little bit more than halfway up, Bill Flynn, who has kidney issues. Rima had posted on Facebook to lift up her brother-in-law, Bill Flynn, as he awaits surgery in February. So keep him in your prayers as he has those kidney issues there and has that upcoming surgery. Any others? All right, I don't see any others on Facebook. On our nursing home list, we have Bertie Davis, Beverly Daniels. I know Miss Bertie gets discouraged sometimes, so keep her in your prayers. If you have the opportunity to go by to visit her, she would love to have that visit. Miss Bertie, Miss Beverly Daniels, who's also at Morning Point, Mr. Hoyt Farrell, who is Bobby's brother, who's at Legacy Nursing Home, Mary Lee Stringfield, it's Mike's mom, at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and then Miss Catherine Smith at NHC Tullahoma. Any others that we missed, or one last chance here? I don't see any others on Facebook there, so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer then, and we'll get right to our Bible study in the book of Jeremiah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for being the holy, righteous, loving God that you are, that you care for us, that you provide for us, that you are near with us. Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We don't always make the right choices, and we don't always follow the light of the path that you light before us. And so, Father, we sin against you. We acknowledge that, and we come before you, Lord, as you are a holy and a righteous God. You're a good God. You're a just God. You're also a merciful God and a gracious God. And so we come before you, Lord, to confess our sin and to ask for forgiveness of our sins. We ask, Lord, for you to cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, wash us white as snow. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers with you tonight. And so we come to surrender and submit ourselves completely to your will and to your way and for your cleansing from our sins. Father, we thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross, that we have salvation in him if we trust in him as Lord and Savior. We also have cleansing for our sins. We know we're not perfect and won't be perfect until we get to heaven, but that is no excuse for us to continue to live in sin. And so we come, Lord, repenting of it, confessing of it, turning away from it to follow you. And we ask, Lord, for your will to be done in our hearts and our lives. Lord, be with us tonight as we come to study your word here in the book of Jeremiah again. Speak to us your truth. And Father, I pray that your word would be alive and powerful, that it would be transformative in the truths that we learn. And Father, I pray that you will use it to encourage those who are believers and to bring those who are not to the place where they trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Be with all of our other programs that are going on tonight, with our Awana program, our youth program. Lord, bless those leaders, bless the kids who are here. Father, I pray that you'll continue to move in their hearts, to bring them ever so closer to you, whether they're saved or not. And Father, we pray that they will grow in their walk with you if they are, and Lord, that they will come closer and closer to that place of trusting in Jesus if they haven't yet. So Father, bless us tonight. Have your hand upon each one of us. Continue to keep the people who've been affected by the storms north of us here, Lord, in your care. Father, I pray that you'll provide for their every need and use us and our churches in whatever way that we can to be a blessing to those people. Father, we pray for our nation and just pray, God, that you will continue to lead and to guide our nation and to have your hand upon us where we stray away from you. Lord, bring conviction upon us and bring, Lord, a time of repentance and revival and coming back to you heavy upon our hearts, upon people across this nation. Father, I pray that you would bring salvation to many people. Lord, that you would transform and change this nation in a powerful way. It only can be changed from the inside out. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that and use us as instruments in your hands to be able to be used by you to do that, by sharing the good news of the gospel, by being a living example, by praying for individuals each and every day. So Father, we just pray for your blessings tonight on your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 down through verse 25 is what we're going to look at. We had 26 verses last time, so we get you a short message tonight by one verse. You hear that little chuckle? So as you look at these verses here, as we're going to look at here in just a moment, you know, think about it. Can you believe that we are coming to the end of the first month of 2026 already? It's already a month just about that has gone by of this new year. Let me ask you this. How has this first month been for you? Has it been good? Has it been bad? Has it been a blessing? Has it been a curse? Has it been a mixture of those things? You know, every new year brings with it a strange mixture of emotions. There's hope because something new is beginning, but there's also fear because we don't know what's ahead. There's excitement because we believe God still has more for us, but yet at the same time, there's also hesitation because life has taught us just how quickly plans can change and how quickly life can change. You know, some come into a new year with joy and expectation, and others step into that with grief and disappointment and regret and uncertainty. And yet, no matter how we enter new seasons of our life, whether it's a new year or a new chapter in our life or a new change in our life, the Word of God meets us every single time with unchanging truth. And we're going to be looking here primarily at Jeremiah 10, verse 23, because those words, they may sound simple, but they're very profound and carry a very profound truth that apart from God, we are helpless to navigate the paths of life successfully. So if you would just turn over there to chapter 10 in Jeremiah to verse 23. We're going to start with that verse, but then we're going to go back and look at the other verses here in just a moment. So verse 23 says, Jeremiah says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his path. So what Jeremiah is speaking there, he's speaking not only to Judah in his time, in their time of political turmoil and idolatry, but also he's speaking to every one of us today. So to understand the weight of Jeremiah's words, we need to see the broader concept here. So I want to take you back to the beginning of Jeremiah, verse 1 down through verse 16. So let's read those verses, if you will. It says in verse 1 of chapter 10, "Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel." Not just hear it, hear with your ears, but hear it with the intent to do what the Lord says for you to do. "Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel." Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither is it in them to do good. There is none like you, O Lord, who are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For this is your due, for among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you." Verse 8, "They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. And they are the work of the craftsmen and the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are all worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name." So in those verses, as we look at to get the context of verse 23, God is warning his people in these verses here not to follow the customs of the surrounding nations. You remember the history of Israel, that they did that all so often. The people of Judah had been tempted to imitate the practices of the people around them. They made idols of wood and gold, and they bowed to those objects that they made. And Jeremiah calls those actions vain. Vain means empty or meaningless or powerless. These very idols that they carried, these very idols that the Bible talks about here, that they decorated them up to look all fancy and fashionable, and they worshiped them, they could not move. Those idols could not move. Those idols could not speak. And in sharp contrast, when you read verse 10, verse 10 reminds us that the Lord is the living God. He is the everlasting King. He's the one whose power and whose wisdom is above every human effort. What Jeremiah is showing here and speaking to the people is critical in that he is showing that real security and true guidance don't come from human effort. It doesn't come from our clever plans or even material possessions. True blessing, true prosperity, true success comes only from walking in God's will. And then you come to verse 17, down to verse 22, leading up to verse 23, and we see the consequences of trying to walk in our own way. That's what the nation of Israel does here. That's what the nation of Judah does. They try to walk in their own ways. And so notice verse 17 down to verse 22. He says, "Gather up your bundle from the ground, O you who dwell under siege. For thus says the Lord, behold, I am slinging out the inhabitants of the land at this time, and I will bring distress on them that they may feel it. Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is an affliction, and I must bear it. My tent is destroyed, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are not. There is no one to spread my tent again and to set up my curtains." Talking about the tabernacle. "For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. A voice, a rumor, behold, it comes. A great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a lair of jackals." So you see the consequences of trying to walk in their own way. Judah had relied on their own human strength. They had relied on all of those political alliances. When we studied the book of Isaiah, we saw about all of those political alliances that they made instead of trusting in God. And Jeremiah, who's a contemporary of Isaiah, he tells them about what's going to happen because they did not trust in God. One day they're going to be scattered. One day they're going to be in exile. And because their leaders had become ruthless, they had stopped seeking the Lord, and their nation was facing ruin. What a sobering reminder that when we try to guide our own steps apart from God, understand this, failure is inevitable. Yet the chapter here pivots dramatically when you come to verse 23. Because in verse 23, Jeremiah makes a humble, courageous confession when he says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Now, we're going to come back and look at that more in detail, but let me just say a few things about that verse. What he's saying here, in other words, is that we as human beings are incapable of fully directing our own lives. You try to take matters into your own hands, you're going to fail every time, you're going to stumble every time, you're going to fall flat on your face every time. That's not a statement of despair, but a statement of spiritual clarity. It's the acknowledgement that only God can guide us. And that success in life does not come from within ourselves, but from submitting to his will. The world would have us to think that if you just had enough willpower, if you just had enough strength, if you just had enough determination, you could do whatever you wanted to do. But the Bible tells us otherwise, that success in life doesn't come from self-reliance. It comes from submitting to God's will. See, verse 23 strips away one of the greatest illusions of the human heart, the idea that somehow we could successfully manage our lives apart from God. You could look at that as an individual, you could look at that as a church, you could look at that as a nation. You know, sometimes we plan, we strategize, we set goals, we make resolutions, and yet the scripture says that even with all of our efforts, we still don't possess the wisdom to direct our own steps apart from God. You may know what you want, but we don't always know what we need. We may know what feels good in the moment, but not what is going to glorify God and what is going to bless us in the long run. And so that kind of gives us the context a little bit as you come to the end with verse 24 and verse 25 as Jeremiah models the attitude that we need to take if we want God's guidance. So he says in verse 24, "Correct me. Because of all I've said in here in verse 10, correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." Because he knows God has the power to do that. God has the power to speak and poof, you're done. But he says, "Lord, correct me in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." Verse 25, "Pour out your wrath on the nations that know you not, and on the peoples that call not on your name, for they have devoured Jacob, and they have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation." So this passage here in verse 24 and 25 shows us that God's discipline is never punishment for punishment's sake. It's always restorative. God is always wanting to lead us, to refine us, to redirect our paths when we stray away from Him. And so that's the heart of this message in verse 23. If we'll surrender to Him, He will not only guide our steps, but He will delight in the way we go. So in light of that, let's go back to verse 23. Because in verse 23, that's why the Bible, what we read there in verse 23, he says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct himself. You know, that's why the Bible never defines success the way the world does. The world says success is money, success is power, success is recognition and comfort and control. God says success is that progressive revelation of his will for our life and living in that will. Not all at once, not in a single dramatic moment, but day by day, moment by moment, step by step, choice by choice. God has never promised us a life that's free from trouble. But he has promised us a life that will be guided by his truth if we will trust him. He does not remove uncertainty, but he replaces it with direction. He doesn't remove responsibility, but he does give wisdom. He doesn't remove the journey that's sometimes difficult, but he walks with us every step of the way. So the question for us tonight is not what do I want God to do for me? The question is, Lord, what do you want to do through me? You see, God has a way for every new day, and he reveals that way to those who are willing to walk with him. So in this passage, we're going to look at five principles quickly here that will help you to know God's way, not just for this year, but for the rest of your life. Here's the first thing that we need to learn and that we need to do is to surrender to the Lord, to surrender to the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 is what we're going to look at in just a moment if you wanted to turn there, but keep your finger there in Jeremiah chapter 10 because that's where we're going to come back to constantly here. You know, nothing else in the Christian life makes sense until what we read in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, until that step is taken. Surrender is one step among many. It is not one step among many. It is the doorway through which everything else has to pass. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual worship. Do not be conformed, verse 2 says, to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is what? What is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, Jeremiah has already told us, you can't know the will without God. Your way is never going to be the right way, because he says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And so what Paul is saying in Romans 12 in verse 1 and verse 2 is that you don't discover God's will first and then decide whether you want to follow it or not. The first step for us is to surrender, and then God reveals his will. And that's where so often we struggle. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about for his people, and he's talking about for us. We struggle with that. They say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide if I want to do that or not. That's not surrender. That's negotiation. And God does not negotiate his lordship. True surrender means to sign your name at the bottom of the blank check or the bottom of a page and hand it to God and say, God, you fill in the details. It means you stop asking, what is this going to cost me? And you start asking, how will this honor you? Will this honor you? You know, surrender is trust. It is not fear. Sometimes even as believers, we hesitate to trust God because, just to be honest, we're afraid of what he's going to ask. Well, what if God sends me somewhere I don't want to go? What if God takes something from me that I love? What if God calls me to a place of suffering? You know, Paul tells us in Romans 12 there, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, he's saying, look at the cross, look at Calvary, look at what God has already done for you. If he spared not his own son, will he not also freely give you all things? Understand this, God does not lead his children into harm to hurt us. He leads us into holiness. He doesn't lead us into destruction. He leads us into transformation. He doesn't lead us into loss. He leads us into life. And the will of God isn't what you have to endure. It's what you're created to enjoy. It's what you were created to enjoy. So surrender is to a person, not to a plan. We often talk about maybe surrendering to ministry or surrendering to a calling, but Scripture teaches that we surrender to a person. Who do we surrender to? We don't surrender to ourselves. We're to surrender to Jesus Christ. When you surrender to Him, then everything flows from that relationship. Whether it's your job, your career, your family, your future, your decisions, all of that becomes an expression of your obedience to Christ. So understand, you're not giving up your life, you're placing your life in the hands of the one who knows best for you and who loves you. Notice this also about surrender, that surrender aligns your desires with God's will. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that God gives you whatever you want. He changes the desires in your heart, that you're not wanting $1 million. Lord, give me $1 million. That's the desire of my heart. That's not what he's saying at all. He changes the want-tos in your heart. He changes your wants to match his will. And so when you walk in the Spirit, what God wants and what you want will no longer compete with one another. Those things will mesh with one another and agree with one another. When you surrender, you align your desires with God's will. But surrender always brings joy, not loss. We think about the things we're going to have to give up when we have to surrender, but we never think about what the blessing is we're going to get from that. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, talking about his Father in heaven and that being obedient to him. That word meat means satisfaction. It means nourishment. It means joy. You were created to walk in God's will. So understand this. Outside of God's will, there will always be a restlessness in your heart. Inside of the will of God, there is always peace. And the greatest tragedy isn't that you might miss your dreams. The greatest tragedy is that you might miss God's will. So that's the first thing that we need to understand here, is that we need to surrender to the Lord. The second thing in understanding about what verse 23 is talking about here from Jeremiah is that we need to open our mind to the Word of God. You know, once a believer has truly surrendered their life to the Lord, then the next essential step is to allow God to reshape your mind, your thinking through the Scripture. Understand that you cannot live a surrendered life without a surrendered mind. This is one of the places that the devil is going to attack the easiest and the most, is to lead your thinking. You know, you start thinking about things and what you want to do, and you think about your desires or various other things. You start worrying. You start looking at the circumstances around you, and you're thinking things. You know, sometimes thinking can do more damage than any good. You know, but what needs to happen is God reshaping our thinking through the Scripture. Because you cannot live that surrendered life with an unsurrendered mind. So the heart may be yielded. You may have surrendered your heart, but if the mind is still governed by worldly thinking and confusion and conflict, all of that's going to follow. God's Word is not simply a book to be read. It's the primary instrument that God uses to guide us. In fact, isn't that what the psalmist tells us? Psalm 119, verse 105, when he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That means that this word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. Notice what the word does. It does not flood the entire road with light. It just shows you the next place, where to place your next step. You know, God doesn't usually reveal the whole future at once. That's so often what we want. We say, Lord, I want to know the whole plan. I want to know the whole details. We do that in life so often. Lord, I want to know X, Y, Z, how this is all going to work out. I don't want any surprises. And God says, my word is a lamp to your feet. It's a lamp to the next step that you need to take. It shows us where to place that next step. God doesn't usually reveal that whole future at once. He reveals enough to you for today because his word gives us daily direction for daily decisions. Notice that God's word reveals his will. You know, many people want some kind of supernatural sign. Lord, just give me a sign. Show me a sign. Give me some dramatic experience to reveal your will. But scripture already contains the majority of God's guidance for our lives. Think about God's moral will, how we're to live, how we're to love, how we're to forgive, how we're to give, how we're to serve, how we're to walk in holiness. All of that is clearly revealed in the Word of God. And so when your life is aligned with what God has already said, then many of life's decisions become much simpler. Because you're not doing what Jeremiah said, trying to follow the way of man within himself, that you cannot direct your own steps, he's saying. Let the Bible do that. The Bible tells us what kind of people we're to be. The Bible tells us how we're to treat others. The Bible tells us what kind of attitudes honor God, what behaviors grieve the Lord. You don't need some special revelation to know whether something is right or wrong if Scripture has already spoken on the matter. When we neglect God's word, you begin to create in your heart and your mind an unnecessary confusion. We ask God to guide us. We're asking many times for God, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Guide me, Lord, in the steps I'm supposed to take. But we refuse to listen to what he's already said. And that's why we need the Word of God, because the Word of God renews our mind. You know, Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 2 that we read there that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that renewal happens as we consistently take in God's truth. The world is constantly trying to shape our thinking. You think about the commercials you see on TV. You think about the things you see on the internet. And now you've got AI that sometimes you can't even hardly tell the difference between what is truth and what is a lie. And so the world is always trying to shape our thinking through media and through culture and through relationships and personal experiences. If you're not allowing God's word to renew your mind, then the world will conform your mind. And when your thinking changes, your desires change. And when your desires change, your decisions change, for the good or for the bad. So the Word of God is not just information, it is for transformation. The Word of God is there to guide you and to guard you from deception. The Bible repeatedly warns us that deception is going to increase in the last days. Many voices are going to claim to offer truth, but not all truth comes from God. Scripture needs to always be our filter. It allows us to test what we hear, to test what we're feeling, to test what we believe. God's will, understand this, will never, ever contradict his word. If something violates Scripture, it is not from God, no matter how appealing it may seem. That's why the Word of God must dwell in us. Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, because God's Word is not meant for us to just come to occasionally. It's meant to live within us. It shapes our thinking. It guides our choices. It anchors our hearts. And that requires spending daily time with the Lord. No hurried, distracted moments, but an intentional time when you read God's word, you reflect on the Lord, you allow the Holy Spirit to speak. You see, the more Scripture fills your heart, the more sensitive you'll become to God's leading. The third thing we see is that we ought to be praying and asking God for guidance. Because once your life is surrendered and your mind is shaped by Scripture, the next essential step is to cultivate a listening relationship with God through prayer. Prayer is not just something we do before meals or in a moment of crisis. It's the lifeline of a believer's walk with God, because it's through prayer that we experience God's personal guidance and His comfort and His peace. James tells us, if you lack any wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Because God does not withhold his guidance from his children. He tells us, ask. He delights in leading those who seek him. You see, prayer is a relationship. It's not a have to. It's not just a ritual you have to do, a checkbox on a list of things you need to do. Many people approach prayer as a duty rather than a relationship. You repeat words, you recite requests, you move on without listening. But prayer is meant to be a two-way conversation. So often we come to God and we just gush like a fire hydrant to God, and then we close up and I'm on my way, Lord, I don't want to listen to what you got to say. Prayer is meant to be that two-way conversation, because God speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit and through that quiet conviction of the heart. In Psalm 25, David records his prayer, and he says to the Lord, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." That's not something that poof happens once. It's a life of learning his teachings, of being led by him. That's the prayer of a surrendered heart. That's the heart that wants God more than its own way. God speaks through his Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. God's voice is not harsh. It is not confusing. It is gentle. It is consistent. It is always aligned with Scripture. His guidance will always bring peace and not pressure. When God leads, He confirms His direction through His Word and through His Spirit and through godly counsel. He never leaves His children in the dark, because He's given you the light of His Word. Listening is as important as speaking. And as we said, many of us are quick to talk, but slow to listen. And yet, prayer is as much about hearing as it is about speaking. When you quiet your heart before God, He will direct your steps. God's guidance is not always dramatic, but it is always faithful. The fourth thing He says is, don't be afraid to use your mind. That's the fourth thing we need to understand about following God's will. Some believers mistakenly think that walking by faith means turning off your mind, but Scripture teaches the opposite. God doesn't ask us to surrender it. He renews our minds so that we can think clearly, so that we can think wisely in alignment with His truth. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, to your own mind, thoughts. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Notice that God doesn't say that you're forbidden from using your understanding. He says we're not to lean on it. Our reasoning needs to be placed under the authority of God. So God created your mind to serve His purpose, and your ability to think and plan and reason is a gift from God. And so when your mind is renewed by the Scripture and guided by prayer, God will use understanding to confirm His will. But understand this also, that faith and reason always work together. Biblical faith is not blind faith. It is informed faith. Because God always invites you to evaluate, to consider, to discern. When you bring your decisions before God, He sharpens your judgment. And that renewed mind that He's creating in you produces a peace, because when your thoughts are centered on God's truth, then fear and confusion begin to lose their power and they're gone, and God gives us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and that sound mind allows us to walk confidently in His will. The last thing I want to say as we close is this, is that we need to do the will of God as we know it, day by day, moment by moment. When you surrender fully, living in the Word, praying for God's guidance, thinking wisely, there remains that one essential step: obedience. That's what He's saying about the people of Judah. You did not obey. You did not follow the Lord's will. You did what your own reasoning said to do, apart from God. God's will is not discovered in theory, it's revealed in practice. Often we want God to show us that entire plan before we take that first step, but God leads us the way that a shepherd leads his sheep, one step at a time. The psalmist writes this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God's will is progressive, not instant. We want the blueprint, but God wants the relationship. He doesn't hand us a full map of the life he wants you to follow. He walks with you, and when you obey him and what you already know, he prepares you for what to do next, what you don't even know about yet. The servant in Genesis 24 said, "As for me, the Lord has led me in the way," because guidance came while he was walking, not while he was standing still. You know, those small acts of obedience lead to greater clarity. And every obedient step sharpens your spiritual sensitivity. But understand this, delayed obedience is disobedience. God's guidance is experienced by those who move forward in faith. And then faithfulness today positions you for tomorrow. God rarely reveals tomorrow's calling until you're faithful today. Obedience builds character, and character prepares you for greater responsibility. So as we stand here at the threshold of having ended this first month of this new year, of this new season, remember this truth: you're never meant to walk alone. God has a way of life for you, a way that is filled with purpose and peace and eternal significance. You may not know what lies ahead, but he does. You know the one who does, and that's enough. So surrender fully. Fill your mind with God's word. Pray and listen. Think wisely and walk faithfully, one step at a time. Because when you walk in God's way, every day becomes a new day in his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full, Lord, of gratitude and humility. Lord, we acknowledge with Jeremiah that our way is not in ourself. Not apart from you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So Lord, forgive us for the times that we've tried to rely on our own plans and our own strength and our own understanding. And Lord, teach us to fully surrender our lives to you, to trust in your wisdom, to follow your path that you've set before us. Lord, we ask for your guidance. You said to ask, and so we ask for your guidance for every step that we take. Lord, direct our paths, whether it's at our home or our workplace and every decision we make in this coming year and for the rest of our lives. Lord, open our hearts to your word so that we would hear your voice clearly. Lord, give us minds that are alert and discerning, eyes that see your truth, hearts that obey your will without hesitation. Lord, we pray for your protection and your provision and for the courage to take those steps one moment at a time, one day at a time in faith, even when we don't always understand. When the way is unclear, Lord, help us to embrace your correction and your guide with gratitude. Lord, help us not to come in fear, knowing, Lord, that you discipline us out of love and for our ultimate good. Fill us, Lord, with a peace that passes all understanding. And let our lives, Lord, bring glory to you in everything we do, in everything we think. And Lord, as we leave this place tonight, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk in your way, to lean not into our own understanding, but, Lord, to lean upon your unfailing love. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit strengthen us. May your Spirit encourage us every day until one day we see the fullness of your promises in our lives, when we see you face to face. We ask this, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tonight. Sorry about the delays there in getting started. Hopefully I didn't go over too long there with that delay. But you have a blessed week. Stay safe. I know there's some more cold coming in this weekend. Anytime, be sure to stay tuned to our social media platforms. That's where we'll share, especially on Facebook there and in our Facebook group, whether we cancel services or delay services or anything. Please stay tuned to those things. Don't anticipate that this Sunday, but just pay particular attention there. If city schools close at any time during on a Wednesday, then we also do not have a WANA program on Wednesday night. So just a reminder about that. But look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. You have a blessed day, a safe week, and we'll see you then.